thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no contradiction. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare and decree today, at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. We started a series on Wednesday. And for this month, we'll be looking at that series, The Art of Prayer. Are we together? Right, the art of prayer, A-R-T of prayer, the art of prayer, art prayer. We're looking at prayer, right? One of the things we plan to do with this series is to examine the concept of prayer as a believer. What exactly is the concept of prayer? What can we do with prayer? What do we do with prayer, right? What do we do with prayer? What can we do with prayer? What do we do with prayer? Or why do we pray? Now, I hope you know that prayer is not something only Christians do. I hope you know, right? It's not just Christians that pray. Are we together, right? In fact, humans generally, you know, have that mindset, attitude, or the concept of prayer. You know, I was somewhere over the week with a couple of, you know, pastors within Edinburgh, you know, just having, you know, a conversation. And one of them said something very profound. He says, in the real sense, he has realized over his last few years, you know, in the city, building a church, there are lots of people who claim they are atheists but still pray. And that sounded strange to me. There are people who claim they are atheists but still pray. So it means that prayer is something that the mind of a man, one way or the other, looks forward to do. Are we together? So the point is, if a natural man who is not a Christian prays, and a Christian as well is expected to pray, the question now becomes, what should be the difference? Are we here? What should be the difference? Now, you know, we live in a world where over the past few years, because there's a fundamental knowledge lacking about the love of God, it reflects in the prayer life of people. Let me give you an instance. You know, so you see people say, from the part of the world where I come from, right, we have people who pray prayer points about, so if you offend me today, right, I take you up in the place of prayer. And the prayer point is, every woman fighting me, that is fighting my progress in life, what are you living for? Right? That the fire is too fast. You have to first do somersault, catch fire, then die by fire. What extent of wickedness is in your heart? That somebody, you know what it means to somersault? But that is not too terrible enough for you. You say somersault, you're not okay with somersaulting. It is now catch fire. You're not okay with, let's say the somersault catch fire, they put them in hospital. It is somersault, catch fire, then what? Then die. I know what they now say? In the name of Jesus. What is Jesus? Jesus is the English word for Yahushua or Yeshua. What is Yahushua? God is the Savior, or God saves, or salvation comes from God. So what is your prayer? Your prayer is, I command you to somersault, catch fire and die in the name of the Lord who saves. Are we here? I command you to somersault, catch fire by the power of the one who saves. So you are asking the one who saves to do something as terrible as destroy. So, and you know, people pray it for us. You know, we have people who go to church with broom. Just and go to church with broom. What are they doing with their broom? They say you want to sweep the people that have walked into your life that God is not destined to come into your life. What do you do? You sweep their footstep out. Are we together? So you see all manners of practices among saints in the name of what? Prayer. So the question now becomes, what exactly should differ in the prayer life of a believer and one who is not a believer? See, do you know you don't have to be a Christian before you want to wish somebody dead? Let me take it a step back. You don't have to be a Christian before you want to wish somebody evil. So the question is, you are a believer, there's an unbeliever here, both of you are wishing somebody evil. Are we together? Right, so we live in a world right now where people just believe that everybody is their enemy as long as they are not on the same page with them. Are we together? So the reason why you now see the fruit of what happens after those conversations or those thoughts is because the foundational knowledge is what's lacking. So the question is, why do we pray? That should lead to the question, why do we pray for long? Are we together? You know, there are quite some people who take the truth of God's word to the extreme. Right, there are some who believe that, oh, they must pray before they get saved, or must pray fervently before God loves them, and all those things. Now, there are those who think they've understood the knowledge of God's love, and because they understand the knowledge of God's word, they begin to say they don't pray again. So what they do is they just receive it, what? Thanksgiving. Are we together? You know, we used to have some 6-7 hours of prayer time together when we pray at a stretch. You know, there was one day somebody invited one sister. She came to church, and I had given the prayer. We're supposed to pray for 7 hours, right? And in less than 10 minutes, I just say, "Thank you, Jesus." Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive. Oh, glory to God. Thank you. At 10 minutes, you still have 6 hours, 50 something minutes to go. You are thanking. So, what will you be doing after 7 hours of prayer? So you see, the reason she's doing that, you know, maybe she has been taught one way or the other that, you know, prayer is not something you do so fervently, just something, you know, it's just, you know, you see, even hear people say things like, you know, God is not far. Are we together? Have you heard people, you know, you've heard people say that kind of things, that God is not far. So since God is not far, you don't need to shout. Are we together? So God is inside you, and you don't need to shout. Is that true? Okay, is God inside you?
Yes.
Do you need to shout? You see, that's what I'm doing. It seems like this. Because people actually think that when people are shouting, they are not. Do you know that? Is it not efficient? What are we praying? You are leaking your voice. You just say, "Oh Lord, my eyes of understanding is enlightened." And as you're saying, "My eyes of understanding is enlightened," you are thinking spaghetti, pasta, bologna, oh yeah, glory, oh, enlightened. So you are saying enlightened, your mind is away from enlightened. Or rather, your mind is being enlightened on the food you will eat after church. So what is shouting in prayer? We're going to look at it in scriptures today, or not today, this month. Why do you think there is a need to intensify your prayer when you are praying? It is difficult for you to put your heart in prayer, and your body language is showing in prayer, and your thoughts are somewhere else. Are we here? You cannot pray fervently in the real sense, and your mind, see, anything that makes you pray, when I mean fervently, I'm saying your attention, your mind, your body language is in it, and your mind is somewhere else. You have, your own is unique. They use food to do whatever you're thinking about. So who do you shout for? Who do you increase your voice for? Yourself. To avoid what? Distraction. So let me ask again, should the believer, does the believer have the Spirit of God in them? Can the believer choose to shout when he wants to shout?
Yes.
Is something wrong with a believer when he or she shouts? No. Altogether. So the believer is one who has received the Spirit of God. You can't take away that fact. Now, without taking away that, with knowing that reality, there is now a call to pray. So the question is what? Why do we pray? So go to Acts chapter 1. Let's start somewhere. Acts chapter 1. Now, look at verse 1. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, look at verse 3. "To whom also he showed himself alive after what? His passion by many what? Infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining the what? The kingdom." Now hold on. Backtrack. I've said this over and over, and I've said that in history shows that majority of the disciples of Jesus were what? Teenagers. Are we here? Majority of the disciples were teenagers. In fact, history shows that if not 90 or over 90% of them, or let me say better, there are 12 apostles, right? Only one is Peter. Peter is the only one that supposedly was married, right? And was supposedly not a teenager, right? So Jesus, on a fundamental level, had 10 or 11 out of 12 people as what? Teenagers. You know what that means? Now, go back into time and remember when you were a teenager, if you are no longer a teenager now. Right? Go back into time and think about what you were doing when you were a teenager. Right? So it means that the men that Jesus groomed to turn the world around were in their teenage years. We are 2,000 years after that conversation and we are talking about their names. Are we together? So it means, for instance, or for a fundamental fact, one of the fundamental things that would have happened was Jesus drilled them well. Are we here? So Jesus drilled them very well. Now, so what happens in verse 3? He says, to whom also he showed himself alive by many, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for how many days? 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. So was Jesus teaching the disciples for how many days?
40 days.
So do you have record? Now, let me say it this way. What was Jesus teaching for 40 days? Is it your Bible? What's it saying now? The things pertaining the kingdom of God. Stop. So Jesus was teaching about the things pertaining the kingdom of God for 40 days. Do you think Jesus had some extra bits and portions of contribution to make them concentrate? So you can't know. How can I say you cannot know? Look at it. Jesus knew he had 40 days to teach. And he knew there was something called an ascension where he would come and indwell them. So it means he had a limited time to take them through Genesis to Malachi. He would not, see, the little time he would give them to have for their space is for them to rest, to come and continue. Not go and play basketball. Are we together? Like, you know, today, even for some of us that are not teenagers, before a church can get you, right, there has to be sandwich, right? You know, some of you, is only through church you know the different types of sandwich, egg and mayo, bacon and this one. You know all the names, right? You say, that's the church. Am I saying there's anything wrong in sharing sandwich? No. There's nothing wrong with sharing something. And you say, but you know, when you need to say things like, oh, you know, Pastor, the attention span of our people these days, we have gospel comedians. That's one of the jokes of the centuries. Or century, rather. So you say, I'm a comedian, but I'm a gospel comedian. Ah, you are a comedian. You are a gospel comedian. What exactly is the gospel about your comedy? And you know what they are really saying is that they don't use foul language. Do you understand? So you say, Pastor, let's do 3 days. You know, day one to day three, we have 7 hours. You know, we have to keep our rib cracked. And how do we crack our rib? You know, we give that man, I just thought, and that's how I went out and I fell down, and that was the end. And you'll be laughing. Then he takes the mic again, you know, don't worry. And you say, ah. Now, when you have time for the word, not say, Pastor, just do 30 minutes quickly. You know, Pastor, you know, by the time you teach, after your 27th minute like this, I tune up. I'm no longer there again. It's just that, you know, and I always tell you, you know that app called Netflix? I don't even know that app. It's just one app like this on Netflix or some TVs or some laptop or phone. You know the app, right? You know Netflix?
You know it.
Okay, you know it, right? You know how Netflix drags your day on the spot. You finished watching a series of 5 seasons. Don't look at anybody. Everybody look at me. You've watched a series of 5 seasons. Each of them is 1 hour. And each of the seasons has 12 tracks or episodes. That is 12 times 1. That means you finish one season with 12 hours. And now you use 12. And you see some people. When did you start the series last week? When did you finish yesterday? You would think that in their own between last week and yesterday, there is 2 years. When did you start the series? I just started on, is it Monday afternoon or Saturday evening? And you finished yesterday, 5 seasons, 42 episodes. No, 1 hour per episode, 12 times 5, 60 episodes. That is, you spent 60 hours. Look at it, though. Look at it carefully. Let me put it for you in context. In a week, there are 168 hours. And out of 168 hours, you use 60 hours to watch an episode. Something you can read online. Are we together? Now, after the week, you just slept for 88 hours every day that week. Oh. So you did 64 hours of sleep, 64 hours of Netflix. Right? Now, we come to church for only 1 hour, 30 minutes teaching, let's say 2 hours maximum, and Wednesday 1 hour, 30 minutes. And we still complain it is long because we don't have attention span. So, what is the name of that thing called that made you stay focused from Monday to Saturday to watch 60 episodes? What's that? Dedicated attention span. So it means that it is not that you don't have attention span. You can't understand how people watch these things, and they can tell you what happened in the first episode. And you'll be asking them, who is this guy? Give me that guy, the one that was in the restaurant, that sat beside, hey, that's him. Eh? And they took that knowledge for 60 tracks. Right? What the pastor teach last week? I just knew he was shouting. I'm not really certain where he was saying. Just shout, just see, attention span, let us go home and everything, you know. What was the message of last week? You know? So it means, what am I saying? It means you can decide to put your mind on something. And actually put your mind on something and actually get better at that something. I really use this example when we are having our long vigils, you know, in Nigerian church, right? And I say this. When we start praying for 7 hours, for instance, or 8 hours, for instance, and as at 1 hour, I see some people, they're already sleeping. You know, I'll start sharing, got the egg and, you know, biscuits, just to keep you alive. I will say something, you know, if you hear, you know what pa-pa is? Pa-pa is the Greek way of saying a gunshot. You know that if you hear a gunshot outside, you see this window is closed. You know your eye will be like this until somebody goes down and come back and tell you that they've gone. You know now? Your eye will be like this. So the sleep you thought you were sleeping is because you just didn't want to put your mind to it. Because you have put your mind on gunshot that you don't know where it's coming from. And until pastor goes out to say, Dave, everywhere is calm, they've arrested them, they've gone, you now say, okay. But if that doesn't happen in 7 hours, you'll be awake. So it means you have an attention span that can stay for long. The question is, as a believer, how do you fine-tune your attention span to do godly things? So Jesus stood there for 40 days with their attention span, without extracurricular activities, right? And he taught them for 40 days back-to-back. You know what it means? 40 days back-to-back means from the 1st of January to, say, the middle of February. 30 days in January, let's say 15 days. So let's say middle of February, or March, or February rather. So it means he was teaching every single day. Now, it's not teaching of at the end of the evening, kind of let's just wait and just see 30 minutes catch up time. He was teaching, and why do you think they did so much expert for God? They were well taught, they were well trained. Note this, dear saints, you cannot be as effective for God without being well trained. And you cannot be well trained without giving your time to training. I'll say that one more time. You cannot be as effective in the kingdom for God without being trained. And you cannot be well trained without giving your time. Now, I'll say it one more time. You cannot be as effective for the kingdom or with the kingdom of God without being well trained. Now, you cannot be well trained without what? Giving your time. So training requires time. Are we here? Training requires time. Training requires time. Are we together? You know, some of you can be in meetings for 4 hours between Monday to Friday, and you are there. And you are active. God will help you if you are the one that your senior manager asked you to take the minute. The minute, I mean, is it minute of the notes? Minute of the meeting. Something happened to me over the week, on maybe on Tuesday or Monday. I had so many things I wanted to do, right? And I was doing them while I was having a meeting. One woman of God, who is my program, this thing, I hope she doesn't see this video, right? And she just said, will you take the meeting notes from me? I mean, the action or something like that. So that distracted me. So you know what I decided to do? Whilst I kept doing what I was doing, when they say, Josh, can you capture that? I'll just say, can you come again with that? Do you understand? Can you come? You know, ideally it is you heard it, you captured it, but it's, can you come again with that? Now, so why did I do that? It is because I know they need the minutes note after, and I also need to do something within that period of time. Right? So it means that you can actually deliberately make up your mind to actually give yourself to certain things, in spite and despite whatever is going on. Are you getting that? Right? So the question now becomes, with the way the world is provided or arranged or channeled or the way the world is going, do you think it will be easy for the world to supply you that ample time to pray or to study? No. You know, our lives, a lot of times are in a cycle. We're here today now. We go back home, you want to eat, you want to relax. After you eat, you want to sleep, Sunday sleep. You start preparing your clothes for the week. Monday, what happens? You're out of the house 7 o'clock to resume 9. You close 5, you're back home 6, 7. What happens? You are tired. What happens? You want to sleep. You want to watch Netflix again. What happens? You start again. So eventually, your day runs by and you've achieved everything in life apart from spiritual things. Are we here? You've achieved every other thing in life apart from spiritual things. And you know it is easy to relegate that part amongst every other part. It is very easy. Because you will claim, there are other things that need to be done now. Now, so those other things, are they legitimate things that need to be done? Yes. The question is, with those legitimate things, is there still something else that is legitimate that still needs to be done? Yes, spiritual growth, study and prayer. You know that song, read your Bible? Pray every day. If you want to grow, there's no other medicine for spiritual growth apart from consistency in prayer and Bible study. No other. So if that's important for you, then the rule says, it means that you ought to place priority on prayer and study. So no matter how busy you claim you are, you know, I always say this thing, there is no extent of a busy schedule or schedule that you think you have, that there is not another person somewhere else on earth busier than you, yet serving God committedly and committed to their spiritual growth. I can tell you for free. And that's why, as believers, it's good for you to surround your friends with people that can surround yourself rather with people that can spur you to grow. Let me tell you something. Let me say it this way. As a believer, you should have different categories of relationships. Right? You should have the category of relationship where you are the one pushing people to grow. Are we here? You should have a relationship where you have your contemporaries, your mates, your friends, that both of you or all of you are pushing yourselves to grow. They should have those who you know are doing better than you in their commitment to spiritual growth who are pushing you to grow. Are we here? I'll say it again. There are those who you should push to grow. There are those who you should have that are pushing yourselves to grow. And there are those who are pushing you to grow. Happy are you if you find yourself these three categories of friends or relationships. What does that do for you? Right? Once you are pushing someone to grow, you have someone who is... So, what am I saying? Right? You know, I can tell you my busy schedule, how my schedule is, or my schedule is every week. Right? And in spite and best part of that, I still take out hours. Right? There is no week I don't spend on a minimum of 7 to 10 hours to pray. No week. There is not 1 week. Not 1 week. Right? And there's also not 1 week where I don't spend a minimum of 5 to 8 hours rather to study God's word. Not 1 week. Right? And I work every Monday to Friday from 9 to 5:30. Now, you might think that is ambiguous. I'm saying there are people who are working 9 to 9. Right? And they still have more than 10 hours a week to pray. I'm not saying figure of speech. So I have this category of friends. I know people who I'm pushing. I know people who we are pushing ourselves. I know people who are pushing me. You see, there's safety in that. You know why? Because when you are praying 15 minutes, and the only people you have are people we are pushing, you will feel like a god. Is that not true? I'm praying 15 minutes. How many minutes are you praying? Do you do two? I'm the Lord of Lord. You feel like a god. All together. My sister, how many scriptures do you study? How many times do you study God's word a week? You know, Pastor, I just try to give 15 minutes of my time a week to God's word. May I do 25? What am I feeling like? You see, you are safe when you have people who can motivate you to give your attention span here to spiritual growth. Are we here? You see, God does have those people. You know, in this world, it is in this generation and time, we have so many distractions. So many distractions. You see, we're going to look at it in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells you that Jesus prayed all night. It's in the Bible. Look at it. You know what all night means to a Jewish man? It is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. 12 hours Jesus prayed. That is God. Eh? God prayed for 12 hours. Why do you think he prayed for 12 hours? Because he was interacting with men and he was a man. Are we together? Do you know the concern of Jesus looks at Peter and says, the devil has desire to swift you, right? To have you, right? And all of those things. But what did Jesus say? He says, I have prayed for you. Hold on, no. After how many days did Peter deny Jesus 3 times? Not far from the prayer point thing. So Jesus prayed all night to choose a disciple that would betray him for what? 3 times. So the question is, where does prayer come into our lives, or why do we pray? It says, Peter, it says, I have prayed for you. And Peter still denied. So if he did not pray, you know that Jesus, we look at it, you know that Jesus prayed all night to choose his disciples. And one of the disciples he chose was Judas. So he chose Judas from the place of prayer. And Judas betrayed him. So how do you say it? Judas, a man, Jesus chose from the place of prayer, betrayed the man who prayed for him. Did Jesus know to pray? Yes. Did Jesus pray? Yes. Did Judas still betray? Yes. So the question is, what exactly did Jesus know about prayer? We're going to look at that. Are we here? So find yourself. One of the things I want to take from this series is find yourself those categories of people. You see, categories of people doesn't mean plenty of people. It can be one person. You have that one person that you know, enter my call, Sister Jimena, like this. I know that she has gone to work, and I know that she's giving herself 30 minutes prayer every evening. Not the one that you know Sister Jimena is praying every 30 minutes every evening, and you avoid calling her. You know now, you just put her away, because let everybody ask who they are pursuing, what is pursuing them, and what is running after them. Everybody, you see this Christianity is one-on-one. It's between you and your God. I hope you know that your Christian faith is not between you and your God. I hope you know that. If it were to be between only you and God, only you should remain on the earth. You know, if it's only me that died, God would have, if it's only me that was on the earth, God would have still come to die for me. You can't be the only one on the earth. It's not possible. So there's no need to start going to that place. So when you say, you know, my Christian faith is between me and God, you see, God sees my heart. And you know, when you want to justify nonsense, there's always something logical you can attach to it. You know, God sees my heart, you see my relationship between me and God. See, that's why it is called a body of Christ. Oh, you are the body. Only you are the body. We say that the church is the body of Christ. So you say it's only you. So you are the church. We are members. We are a part of. So it means that the reason why we have people around us is because God has designed the human race to function by what? Relationships. Are we here? I'll say that one more time. God has designed the human race. Please, I want to say something very important. God has designed the human race to function on relationships. Please, I'm going to say this again. God has designed the human race to function by... That is why you have brother, you have mother, you have father. That is why your father doesn't marry his sister. Your father goes out to the street to look for the woman to marry. Now when they marry the woman, they give birth to you. You see, God has designed the human race to function based on relationships. This is a vital knowledge our generation has not found today and has not understood today. That is why once I see that you have a contradictory opinion to me, what do? I unfriend you. You know what happens? If we don't believe alike, what happens? I block you. Are we together? Right? I just send you. let me talk for others. Let me talk for myself. If you had seen me 10 years ago, and the things I had said go on with, you would be shocked. You say, is this me? And I used to be a very restless Bible listener then. Every small thing you say, what? You see, if you go for a biology class and you get to the class on the first day, your lecturer says, biology is the study of plants and animals. You say, word. Is that what you say? They say, choke me, word. They say, penetrate into me, word. You say all of those things. What do you do? You give yourself to what? To what? Taking note, observation, writing. Why? Because you are what? You are a student. So who is a student? A student is one who will behave like a student. That's what you notice when we are here. When notes, when the word is being taught, what do people do? We open, we take note, we listen. Right? So that we can go back home, revisit, so that we can become better in what we've learned. Okay, so what did Paul say? Paul says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ to what? Not only to believe unto him, on him, but what? Suffer his sake. Now look at what Paul now says to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also I am of Christ. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Are we here? What is Paul saying? Paul is saying what? Follow me as I follow Christ. Let me say that again. What is Paul saying? Follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, so did Paul know that a believer is meant to suffer for the Christ's sake? So what will happen? Paul will see Jesus suffering, and he will follow the sufferings of Jesus, and is expecting them to follow Paul, who is following who? Jesus. Did you get that? Okay, go to 1 Peter. It will come clearer now in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. I want us to read this particular scripture together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Are you there? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should what? Is that in my Bible? Is it in my Bible alone or is it in your own? Is it in your own, but? So what did he say? Let's read it again. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us. Wait, so did Christ suffer?
Yes.
When you see his suffering, what do you see? That is an example. Are you here? You see, there's the theoretical knowledge that will say, he has suffered, so I don't suffer. Is that not true? What is Peter saying? Did you meet Jesus face to face? Right? So Jesus who met, Peter who met Jesus face to face, is telling you, Jesus suffered. But in the sufferings of Jesus, he left an example that we should follow his steps. So it means when you see the labor that Jesus went through, what are you saying? Not in the fact that only Jesus can do it, but in the fact that that is an example that we should what? Follow. So if Jesus prayed for 12 hours, what is that to us? An example. So it means that when we call 12 hours prayer meeting, what should you do? Run away? Wait. So let me ask a question. Why do you think we have vigils? Why do you think we have vigils? God answers faster at night, right? Okay, no. Witches are flying, so you have to be on the same level with them. I hope you know that there are people who pray between 12 to 3 because they know that's the window of witchcraft activity. You know, it's not funny. It's via, like people actually say they wake up every 11:59 to pray till 3. They are waging war. Spiritual what? Warfare. Are we together? And as they are praying, they hear something on the roof. They say, hey, in their place of prayer. So why do you think we pray at night? Because that is the easiest time when we will all not have excuse not to come. Oh, you didn't see it. If I say let's pray 12 hours on Monday, what will you say? We have work. Even me that you are looking for job. You are still applying, no? You have afternoon, you have work. You're not looking for a job right now is work. If you have work, you don't have work, you look for shift. Say, I have shift. Right? So it's easy. But if it's for night, what do you want to say? You have shift at night. Are we together? So the reason why when you have, so Jesus will pray 6 to 6, that's an example. The only time we can get our 12 hours equally, and we should have more people not giving excuse. Let me say better, we should have less people giving excuse, is what? At night. Not because that's when prayer goes, you know, it's not easy to say, you know, planes are not really flying as much, all the birds are sleeping, so the prayer can ascend. You are laughing. People believe this, oh. People believe they shout because the one. I'm not saying, raise your voice, let it be heard in heaven like thunder. Ah, thank God, you don't know where I'm coming from. You can't know. It's good you don't know. They say, say after me, every satanic power. You see, I'm on my own, no. People will not shout. The man will say, I can't hear you. After you say, you cannot hear me. I mean that my voice are losing. You say, raise your voice, let it be heard in the sky like thunder. Every neighbor, what are you looking for? Die. You see, there is... you see, it fits me. I was born into this, actually. I was born into this. Oh my goodness, I was born. See, when I was younger, ministry is not something I started 2 days ago or 3 days ago. Let me say better. Ministry is not something I started having passion for now, or like 4 years or four months ago. It's still, this is almost better. My parents would tell me that when I was younger, when I go to church, that you see me, small boy, short boy, short boy that's not tall as the chair. He was moving around from the altar and be looking for his mates. My parents would tell me that I'll gather my friends together in the church while all my parents are praying. I'll put all the together, we'll pray. When I'm praying, I'm looking for those who are following that anointing. I say, yes, yes, that's the power. That's the power. Small boy. But one of the things that thing did for me is the fact that it birthed in me a commitment and consistency to devotion unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Whilst your parents do not know sound doctrine and we're doing morning devotion every day, don't throw the morning devotion and their doctrine away now that you know better. Keep their devotion, throw the doctrine. Don't throw the baby at the bath, at the water. That's my own figure of speech. Right? Pick it. Your parents always go. I grew up in an environment where we prayed every morning and evening. Prayer. Forget about the prayer point. That devotion, don't throw it, pick it. Are we together? Don't throw it, pick it. It will help you. You see, when we start giving birth to children, for those of us who have not started giving birth, when we start having children in this world, the distractions will be more. You see, 4 years ago, there was no chat GPT. Right? Now, chat GPT is new to land. The children will take it up. Right? What I'm saying, there will be more distraction. Don't think distraction will ever reduce on this earth going forward. Don't think it. Why do you think Jesus left the midst of people to go to the wilderness to pray? It is because to avoid what? Distraction. I hope you know, in Jesus' time, there was no iPhone. There was no Z Flip. There was no Motorola. There was no Nokia 3310. Like, there was no phone, and yet there was that distraction. You see, if you allow your life, you see, life is moving by default. Don't play yourself into life and be doing auto cruise. Life is moving. Life, time waits for nobody. Don't run your life with an auto cruise mindset, cruise control. You know what cruise control is? When you get to bypass, you're on 40, what do? You tap it. What do? You let it go. Don't run your life that way, else what will happen is that you will only grow old, but you will not grow spiritually. I hope you know this time next week, you are not the same age you were today. It means that everybody is growing every day. Don't let life get you to age 40, or age 50, or age 60, and you cannot look back at a tantamount or a corresponding spiritual growth that has happened to your life. Are we here? So, Peter will say, Jesus suffered, leaving us an example. So it means when we see Jesus, we see what? An example. So if Jesus prayed all night, we should have the attitude of praying all night. The second question is, when you find out what Jesus prayed for, you should know what you should pray for. I made a clause earlier on today. You cannot find it between Matthew to Revelation, for starters, where Jesus or the apostles had a prayer meeting for things physical or material. You won't find it. None of the, what do you call this doctrine, this prayer we pray? Pauline prayers. None of them covers material things, not one. and yet they were devoted to praying. So what were they praying about? You know, I said something earlier on. We pray on account of the fact that we are going to be in what? Relationships. Now, let me go to my teaching today. Acts chapter 1. That was a good introduction. Okay. So, Acts chapter 1. Remember, we've read chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. What was happening? Jesus was teaching for 40 days. Dear saints, please see what I'm about to read for you in verse 4. Look at verse 4, Acts 1, 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So, look at Luke. Hold your hands in Acts 1. I go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Hold your hands in Acts 1. Go to Luke 24. Verse 49. Luke 24:49. He says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What's the next word you have in your Bible? But what? Tarry ye. So what is Jesus saying to them? Tarry ye in Jerusalem. For what to happen? Until you be what? Endued with power from on high. So what does it mean to tarry? Go back to Acts 1. Verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? Wait. So in your Bible, in chapter 1, verse 4, what did he say? They should wait. What is the other word for wait?
Tarry.
So it means to wait is to tarry. Are you here? Go to verse 13. Or verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were coming, verse 13, they went up into what? An upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and all the apostles, listed their names. Look at verse 14. Let's read 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What did Jesus ask them to do? Wait. That is to tarry. So Jesus said they should wait to tarry. What were they doing?
They were praying.
That is, they were waiting. So what does it mean to wait? To pray. Are we together? So Jesus said wait. Jesus said tarry. What were they doing? They were waiting, that is tarrying, that is they were praying. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they knew to pray? Go back to verse 5. Acts 1. Look at verse 4 again. Wait, that is tarry for the promise of the Father, seeth ye have heard of me. Now look at verse 5. It says, for John truly what? Baptized with what? Water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So did John baptize with water?
Yes.
Are we asked to baptize people with water? Why do you think John baptized with water? Okay, go to Luke. Go to Luke 3. Are you in Luke 3? Look at 3, Luke 3, 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, I want to explain something vital now. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was what? Opened. So, what was happening in Luke 3, 21? The heaven what? Opened. The heaven what? Opened. Look at verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. So what was happening? Jesus was in the water. John was baptizing Jesus. And what happened? A dove flew to the head of Jesus. Is that true? Is that true? A white dove flew to the head of Jesus. But you know, that is what people believe. Are we here? Right? So, from this scripture, people assume or allocate the image of dove to the Holy Spirit. I've been in meetings before when a dove flew into our church and they said that's the Holy Spirit. See, saints, I'm not lying to you. Summa be lie. Well, lie, I'm telling you. Not the, I didn't watch the video. Oh, you were there? Okay. I was in a church meeting when a dove flew in. Yes, that's the Holy Ghost. Wow. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. Why? Because they have assumed that a dove is the what? The animal, the spirit of God animal. animal represents the spirit of God. I know you have churches today that their logo has dove. White. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape. What is the next word there? Like a. What is like a? You are as beautiful like a rose flower. Are you rose? Are you flower? What is that? Figure of speech. Right? Your car has the shape of a, looks like a plane. Is your car a plane? Fly. So he says the Holy Ghost descended. So John is explaining something. He says the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape, and a voice came from where?
Heaven.
A voice came from where? Heaven. So a voice came from where? Heaven. So what happens in heaven? Heaven first opens, then a voice comes from heaven. Are you here? Heaven first opens, then a voice comes from heaven. Don't forget that. So the heaven first opens, and a voice comes from heaven. Go back to Acts 2. Hold your hands in Luke. Go to Acts 2. Verse 1. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. Suddenly there came from where? A sound from where? Is that similar to Luke 3? Heaven open, sound comes. Are you here? Heaven open, sound comes. Don't forget that. Heaven open, sound comes. So a sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Stop. Stop. Is that scripture saying the sky turned into two? Then breeze started coming. Then went from upstairs to hotel. Then this is the elevator. Then they opened the door for the breeze. Then somebody just stepped out, the breeze followed and rushed. So, was there sound in their room? Was there sound in the room where they were in one accord? Was the sound from heaven? Okay. Was the sound from the sky? Was the sound from heaven? So, there's a sound from heaven. I'll explain it to you. There's heaven. There's heaven open. There is sound coming from where? Heaven. Now he says, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. Cloven tongue are like as of fire. So was it fire? Was there fire on their head? Beautiful. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the what? Holy Ghost. And what?
Began to speak.
So where do you think this, where do you think the sound from heaven was coming from? From the people full of heaven that were opening their mouth to talk. Are you here? So I know I've taught this before in passing here, but I've taught extensively in the previous series. What is the concept of heaven and earth? When Moses spoke about heaven and earth, he wasn't pointing your attention to the sky and where you are. Are we together? God is not in one cloud there, one sky there, seated there on one throne, and his leg is now on the earth. The earth is my footstool. No. Are we together? Heaven and earth is a figurative expression for the union between the supernatural and the natural. Are we here? Are we here? So what will be heaven and what will heaven and earth be? Heaven and earth is another way of speaking about the resurrection reality that a believer receives when he becomes born again. So you are the demonstration of heaven on earth. So if I want to see heaven on earth right now, I will need to see a demonstration from you on earth. Are we together? So what was happening in Acts 2? They began to what? Speak. So the speaking they were speaking will be the sound from heaven. Are we here? We've already explained now that it's not a breeze that came and was rushing amongst them. If it was rushing amongst them, they would pack the Bible and run away from the place now, because it would be unsettling. So Luke will use figurative expressions to write about the same thing. What is he really saying? They were speaking. He called it what? Sound from what? Heaven. So go back to Luke 3. Go back to Luke 3 quickly. Don't forget what happened in verse 21. What happened in verse 21? The heaven opened. So let me ask you a question. When you say heaven opens and sound comes, who should you be looking for? A man now.
Yeah.
Right? When you say heaven opened and sound came from heaven, who should you look for? A man. So what happened in verse 21? As Jesus was being baptized, the heaven was what? opened. Then the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, right? And the voice came from where? So is there a voice from heaven? Is there a sound from heaven? When you hear voice or sound from heaven, who should you see? A man. Are we together? So a voice came from heaven, thou art my beloved son. Hold on. Is it that God turned the sky into two? I started shouting to John, thou, and John will now hear, thou, how. Some of you believe God has echo voice. Thou,
art,
man, So you would have thought that John was standing, Jesus was standing, the heaven that the sky opened, then God now spoke, thou with my son. No. What was Jesus doing when he was about to be baptized? Look at verse 21 again. Now when all the people were what? Baptized. It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and what?
Pray.
What does it mean to pray? To speak. So that means Jesus was talking. So who is the heaven that opened and a voice came? Where will you find the voice that came? From the lips of Jesus. So what we call that? Utterance. Did that confuse anybody? Do you understand that? So, the heaven that opened, don't think of the sky that split into two. Then the voice was calling with loudspeaker, no. You think of a man from whom is full of heaven, and you give an utterance, and you say, heaven spoke. You know, when we have believers, what do we say? You know, God says to tell you. What is God says to tell you? From the throne room of heaven, we have a message from you. What is it called? Utterance. Are we together? So, everything John described, even though he used heaven, your mind might go to the sky. Even though he used dove, your mind might go to animal in the sky. Even though he said voice, your mind might go to the sky. But everything happened right in front of him. Are we together? So, your attention going to the sky to see animal dove will be to miss the point. Don't forget in Acts 2, what does the sound from heaven, where will it come from? It will be from amongst men. Are we together? So in the real sense, when you see the sound from amongst men, you see the heaven has opened and you say God has said. So thou and the beloved son will be an utterance found as a third person on the lips of who? Jesus. Go back to Acts 1. Are you there? Have you got them? You got Acts 1. So, Jesus taught them for how many days? Acts 1:3. 40 days, right? In Acts 1:4, he said, wait for the presence of the Father. Acts 5, in Acts 1:5, John truly baptized with water. So, the only article in Luke 3 is to show you John really baptized with water. So, let me ask a question. Why did John baptize with water? Well, let me take a step further. Did God ask John to baptize with water? Did God ask John to baptize with water? Go to Malachi. Are you Malachi 3? Look at verse 3. Look at Malachi 3:1. Malachi 3:1. Malachi is the last book before Matthew. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom he delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the what? The Lord of hosts. Hold on. Who is the messenger that will be sent before to prepare the way? John. So who is John? Baptizer or messenger? So did God ask John the Baptist to baptize with water? Let me ask a question. What is God's assignment? What is the assignment of God's? What is God's expectancy from the assignment he gave John for what? To pass a message, because he's a what? Messenger. How he passes it is up to who? John. So why did John start water baptism? It is to get the attention of people, so when Jesus will be revealed, people will be there. Are you there? There was no faster way for John to gather people together. Right, than to so John will feel okay. John will say that I baptize in water, he baptized with the Spirit. Right, so what is water baptism? A pointer to what Spirit baptism is. What is Spirit baptism? To be immersed and to be in identification with the Spirit. So John will put you inside water to show what the Spirit will do. Your attention must not be on the water, because the water is a teaching aid. Are we here? So John will put people in water and saying, he that is coming, I am not worthy to untie the lace of his shoe. He shall baptize you with the Spirit. Are we together? So did God ask John for water baptism? No. Actually, Jesus will now tell you that John was teaching the message of repentance. So the water is a teaching aid to show. You see what I'm teaching about message of repentance? This is what happens when you believe in the message. Your sins will be washed. So when you know when I say wash, your mind goes to water. So John will pick people to water, be washing them, dipping them, but he could not do anything about their sins. Right? Because there is one who will come that will do something about their sins. And what will he do? He will baptize you by his Spirit. So John will use water to teach, this is what the Spirit will do. He will wash you clean. Are we together? So who was John? John the Baptist was a baptizer. He was a messenger. Are we together? So Jesus will come and he will identify who Jesus is in front of the crowd. What's happening? Sending the message, right? In the real sense, if you are all seated right now and I call you to come and I put you on the spot and I say you are the one that will do this and that on behalf of God, what am I doing? I'm exalting our office in front of you. What am I doing? I'm ordaining her. So what was John doing? John was ordaining Jesus in front of the people. Are we together? So John will say, this is that son who has been promised from time. Who, whilst I deeply in water, he would actually change your heart. So Ezekiel would have said it. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Which is what? I will give you a new heart, that is, give you a new spirit. So look at Acts 1. Acts 1 again. So he says, so John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days ends. Look at verse 6. Please, I want to say something here. When the therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Wait, if you've been following what I've been teaching, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, was Jesus teaching for 40 days?
Yes.
Was he teaching about a kingdom?
Yes.
What kingdom? Kingdom of God. What is the first question they ask him? Kingdom of Israel. You see, man? You see, it's almost as if they are saying to Jesus, you don't know what you've been saying. You've wasted your 40 days. Jesus, see, Brother J, your name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Right? You are the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, omnipresent, omnipotent. You are the one that is worthy to be praised. Now you've taken us through exegesis through the Bible about the kingdom of God. What about the kingdom of Israel? You see why men need to pray? You see why men need to pray? You know, these are the people you call senior emojis. These are the senior. And look at the first question they asked a man who has been spitting, who has been sweating, explaining Genesis to Malachi. Say, we know you're talking about the kingdom of God. You are a wonderful teacher. In fact, the way you teach, there's no other man that teaches like that. But what about Israel? What about Israel? What about, you know, Israel? Why this thing they were asking about Israel? At this time, they had a Roman Empire that were in power. The Roman Empires were in power. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the UK. Let me use it as an example. This kingdom X, before you come and catch me. So this kingdom X, you are laughing. See, my wife is laughing louder than everybody. They won't take me, don't worry. See, so this kingdom X, right? Kingdom X has a president X, right? And people in kingdom Y, they are stronger than kingdom X. So they come to kingdom X and they overthrow. Kingdom X is not UK. Kingdom X is the kingdom of people. So they come to kingdom X and to the gospel. That is all. What am I saying? Let me say it clear. God doesn't choose presidents over people. You become a governor, become a president, become a minister, how well, depending on how well you can convince the people or convince the ballot boxes. You want me to convince ballot boxes? All is convincing. What is the appropriate way you should do it? Convince the people. Are we together? So, you see, when the church begins to know where to draw the line between politics,
and kingdom conversations. It will be safer for the church. You know what will happen? If not, we'll just keep embarrassing ourselves.
Jesus tells you from the scripture. So you see, it's not today people started thinking there's one man that God desires to be the redeemer of the people. It's not today. It's in the Bible. What did Jesus say? He said, it is not for you. He says, you shall know the time and the season that the Lord has put in his power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me wrap up my teaching. So what did he say to them after teaching them and asking these questions? No. After he taught them, they came back and he explained to them. What were they doing? What did he ask them to do? I know you get it. So you ask them to wait, that is to tarry. What are they doing? Praying. So what now happens in Acts 2? A believer's meeting happens. Right? Let me quickly explain the Bible to you. So, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. You know, people have questions about tongues. Right? And maybe I'll touch it later on this series. Tongues is for every believer. The reason why every believer will not speak in tongues is because there will be always gap in people's knowledge. Are we together? Tongues is for every believer. So what was happening in Acts 2? It says, they began, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now let me explain something. Look at verse 5. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jew, devout men out of every nation under the heavens. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Hold on, saints. What was happening in Acts 2? What festival was happening? Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Pentecost is when is a ceremony, the 50th day, celebrating after the Passover. Right? So the Pentecost was a festival that continued from Moses' time. So they kept observing it every year. So what happens? When they are having Pentecost, Jerusalem people who have been littered all over the earth will what? They will come together to attend Pentecost. So that's what happened. So why do you think Peter was able to preach and his first message was able to save 3,000 souls? Because people in their hundreds and thousands all over the world will come back to Israel for what? The Jewish Pentecost. Let me ask you a question. Go further. You know, people think that tongues is nonsense. Some other people also believe that tongues is another man's language. This is where they take their narrative from. If you look at it again. So, look at verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying what? One to another. Hold on. You know, okay, go to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized, right? The same day were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. So, do you know it's highly possible that it's not all the people that were there that were saved that now became saved after Peter preached. So it means that on the starter, if 3,000 men were saved, there were more thousands of people. But out of the thousands, 3,000 were saved. Right? So go back to chapter 2. So look at chapter 2. And they were all amazed. Who are the all that were amazed? All that were gathered, would that be 3,000 plus?
Yeah.
Because at this time, they were not saved. So it will be 3,000 plus the thousands of other people that did not get saved eventually. So it says they were gathered and they were amazed and marveled. What were they doing? What were they doing now? They were saying one to another. So it means there was a middle ground where they could communicate. It means they had the same language. Are you here? It means they had the same language. So it means that the thousands of people that were there could understand the same language. Because I'm saying something. Now, look at verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How would they be able to say it to themselves? They could understand themselves. That means language was uniform amongst them. Are you here? Now look at verse 9. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, the Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Somalia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in part of Libya, Balsam, Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jew and proselytes, Crete and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Hold on. Is Luke saying that the people in the room were speaking Egyptian, Palibian, Caribbean, all those different languages? It couldn't have been. Remember, the reason why they could hear what was happening inside the room was because they understood what we could hear. And what did they say they were understanding? They were saying the wonderful works of God.
Are you here? So when you see Egypt, Libya, is he saying that people that were there were different language speakers? Not necessarily. He's saying that these cities were the cities where the Jewish people who celebrate Pentecost had relocated to start their lives. Right? Right? Are we here? So it means that you started your life. So let's say you are from the UK, and all of a sudden you relocate to the US. When is that time of the year, Pentecost period? What happens? You in US, you in Asia, you in Ghana, you in Nigeria, what happens? You come back to the UK to celebrate Pentecost. When all of us come back to the UK to celebrate Pentecost, are we not going to have a common language? So this is when I speak to you, you will understand. So the Egypt, the Libya, Mesopotamia, the free, the Syria, no, it's about the different places. How do you know? Let me prove for that to you again. Now look at verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another. The reason why they could say one to another was because there was uniformity in what? Language. Are we together? Now, some were saying what means this, others were mocking, they are full of wine. Now look at verse 14 carefully. But Peter, standing up with various interpreters. Is that your name? Is there? Is he home? Okay. So Peter, standing up with various interpreters, lifted up his voice. So what is there? Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men. For Peter to have stood in the midst of thousands of people and he says, ye men, and they understood, it means they all understood one language. Did you get that? It means they all understood one language. So he says, ye men. What now happens? He begins to teach from Joel. Look at the beginning. He says, but Peter, standing up, he said, ye men of Judea and ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet, who? Joel. So Peter begins to teach from scriptures. Joel. What did Joel say? Joel said, on the last day. What did Joel say? Look at it again. Joel said, on the last day, says the Lord, I will pour out. What is last day? Last day is not because they are sending vaccine to people's houses. Are we here? You know, some of us now, when you go out and see rainbow, you see we're in the last days. Are we here? When you see somebody say, I'm no longer, I saw a video of a man. He says, no longer a man, he says, a broccoli. Broccoli. You know what broccoli is? Broccoli is fruit. I know it's people just saying that this one, that man will say is no longer man, is woman. People start saying they are fruit. No, we ask somebody who say is a fruit, is broccoli. He said, I'm not a man. He painted his face green. he put the heart of broccoli and say, I'm a broccoli. He referred to me as Mr. Broccoli. You know what broccoli? Broccoli is a vegetable now. Is it a vegetable? Or is it fruit?
It's a vegetable.
Okay, you shall know what it is. So somebody is asking me to say it's a vegetable. Right? Anyways. So you don't now sit down and say, oh, yeah, this is the last days. No, we've been in the last days from the resurrection of Jesus. What is the last days? A figurative expression to speak about the times of the resurrection. So we're in that day the Lord has made. What's the day? The day of the resurrection. So we are, last day has been, no. You know, sometimes, the more you see these things, you think we are closer to the rapture. You know now, you think we are closer to what? The end. We are still far. I hope you know. You know, we've had different times on the earth when people have said the rapture is not, the world will not see the next decade. And people started saying, I started eating anyhow. What happened? When the life continues, what happened? You go back to the gym. they say the world is going to just be eating anyhow, eat every millisecond. When your eye now down and you see the world continue, what happened? You register in the gym. You lose it again. When next time, when they say the world is coming to an end, you will not feed yourself like that again. So people say, you see, what is 2023? 2023, if you add it together, you see, COVID is a sign of the last day. You see, the vaccine is something that you receive. You are just ignorant. See, I hope you know that if a time comes and they say, I can't have access to the money I'm saving now without putting it in my body, I hope you now collect it. I hope you know I, Joshua Yusuf. And you know I will collect it. If they say a time is coming, now the money in your account will be linked to a chip. Right? But they must tear your skin and put it. You know I will collect it. I will know. What will people who are ignorant start saying? Mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. No. Don't tear your skin. I remember a few years ago, I used to tell, when I started this ministry thing, when I was in primary school, I should tell the ladies in my class, why are you wearing a ring? Your ring is not, your ring is not of God. If God wanted you to wear a ring, it would have pierced your ear from the birth. I say, ah. When I look at myself, I say, ah. So if God wanted you to wear a ring, you would have come with hole in your ear. If somebody come with hole in the ear now, which is there's problem? So what can I say about this that piercing their nose? Everybody has choice. Everybody has words following them. If that's what will make the pressure everybody will see. Anyway, so in the real sense, when you think about the fact of the gospel, the last day's conversation is the day of the resurrection. So when Joel says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon flesh. Don't be waiting. It's not necessarily about the fact that when you now see people gather in one school, they're doing revival, you say that's the last day's proof. No. We are still and will always be in the last days because we are post what? Resurrection. Let me close up here. Right? We read verse 41. Now let me ask you a question. Look at the order of what happened. Jesus resurrected. Are you here? Jesus taught for how many days?
40 days.
They asked him a question. Is that question, do you think it's a question of ignorance?
Yeah.
Genuine ignorance. They really had that question in their mind. Right? But that means Jesus did not tackle politics in his 40 days teaching. Because if they are tackling politics in his 40 days teaching, they will not ask it after 40 days. So look at it again. Jesus resurrects. They were in doubt. Jesus taught for 40 days. They were still in doubt. Then he asked them to what? Wait. Then what happened? Day of Pentecost came. Then what happened? Peter stood up as an evangelist to what? Win souls. So what is the link? What do you think changed? What do you think happened that changed the audacity they had before or after the teaching and the day of Pentecost? The prayer. So what gave Peter the boldness? Peter, that so this is barely 60 days. Before that, that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Do you understand? So add the 40 days teaching ministry, add the 3 days resurrection and crucifixion, then add the day. Peter denied Jesus a few days, right? Not too far from the crucifixion before they arrested him. They asked him, "Do you know that man?" He said, "No, I don't need no." He said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "What is Jesus? Name of place or animal?" Do you mean a place or is it after the neighborhood? Our brother Peter denied our Lord. I know he was the closest always to Jesus. And he denied Jesus. So you want to think of the heat of the persecution? Saints, Peter did not deny Jesus once. If you deny me once, I can say they caught you unawares. If you deny me twice, I can say they caught you unawares again. 3 times, you knew what you were doing. And what happened? He was trying to save his life. But that same Peter who was trying to save his life put his life on the line for the gospel. What do you think changed? The waiting and the tarrying. That is why it is not far-fetched why Peter and Paul would give us prayer points to pray and say, pray for boldness and utterance. Why? On account of the humanity and relationship that will always exist amongst men. Why? Because God, man, remains God's method in the earth. So what changed? There was prayer that was ongoing. So when the day of Pentecost came, they flowed. Why? Because they were from the place of prayer. When Peter was to stand up to 500 people and preach, he flowed. Why? Because so the same Jesus he denied is the same Jesus he stood and got 3,000 of them converted on one speech, with one speech. What changed? The bridge. So there was a bridge between knowledge and the fulfillment or manifestation of what is expected from you as a believer. What is the bridge? Stay praying. Why do you stay praying? Because you would always be in relationships with other men. You know, if there was no other man on earth, and that those people that asked Peter even knew Jesus, there would have been no cause for denial. You know now? Do you understand? There would have been no cause. But eventually, why did Peter deny? Because there's a relationship. The human beings will always come to you. So who are you this morning? You are a believer that will, whilst learning God's word, never forget the bridge between the demonstration of what is expected from you as a believer and the knowledge you get. What do? You stay praying. Altogether, you stay praying. Why do you think Jesus did not get upset when they asked him, when will you restore again the kingdom of heaven? Because he's a man of prayer. You know yourself now. You know. You have that friend you've told the same thing only 3 times. And the person does it again the first time. And you are what? If not because they born in your generation. Ideally speaking, we are not mates. If not because you are seeing me standing in front of you. If not because I do not follow the path of my friends. I would have been. You will not see my break. Uh-huh. What did Jesus do? Is it for Jesus to say, ah, wait, come. Who's your leader? Come. I don't know you. Who come? Were you not the one that sat on number the seat? I remember now, I was teaching 40 days every day. You sat on the chair number 2. When I, yes, that is you now. It's you. So why are you asking this stupid question? Like, what came over you? Why do you think Jesus did not handle it that way? He was a man of prayer. When Judas betrayed Jesus, when Judas came back to Jesus, what did Jesus say? Friend? He still called him friend. Why do you think he called him friend? He was a man that gave himself to prayer. So he dealt with, so because you know you will always deal with men, you give yourself yet more to what? Prayer. You know what it is for you to somebody who, you know the funny thing? Jesus knew that Judas would betray. Are we together? And in knowing that, he still prayed for Judas. And he still prayed. And Judas still, you would have thought that the prayer of Jesus would have changed the mind of Judas. No, men will still have willpower to do whatever they want to do. What prayer does for you a lot of times to stabilize your heart, such that whatever man brings your way, you are prepared. Some of them, you see, sometimes you will pray very, very heavy. But the thing somebody will do to you will just be a step above. What do? You let loose. What should you do originally? Increase your prayer level. So because you always deal with men, you know, it's easy for you to say something, but I've been telling you this thing every single day. Don't you should hear what you guys leave the person here. Is it that you are not hearing? You now go to the person, you now remove the hair design and say, can you all hear me? But what do you think that prayer will do for you? What do you think Jesus was praying about? Why do you think Jesus will handle betrayal and denial and yet still be Jesus? The man that denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus still said, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. What a commitment. You know, today it's easy to say, you that cannot trust your commitment to me, I would like to hand over everything that I'm doing to you. Are we together? So what is prayer to the believer? Prayer is the bridge that connects, because we will deal with men and be in relationships, the knowledge we will learn, right, with those actions expected from us. Hallelujah.